again.
Yeah, let's do that again.
Hey, welcome to Two Twisted Sisters, a true crime podcast. I am your host, Kelly.
And I'm Shauna.
I've been researching our next podcast because I've had this one ready. I was just waiting for Kelly to... Just kidding.
Listen.
Like, why would...
I am doing this even though I have a lot of stuff I need to be doing right now.
Yes, you do. I think your next podcast is going to be super cool and I cannot find anything to match it. It's just really hard.
Yeah, you're mad that you didn't get it first, huh?
I am mad that I didn't get it first. I'm really mad that I didn't get it first. So whatever.
You texted me that and I was like, oh, she knows. Did you read it?
I didn't because I just want because
you did.
I didn't actually. I saw it and okay. There was like a brief synopsis. And so I was like, I wonder if this is the one that she's doing hers on. So all of our avid listeners will find out on our next podcast when Kelly talks to us about something spooky.
We're in spooky season.
Spooky season.
It's happening. Shauna's so already excited. Decorated for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. I did wait till September 1st, though, so that I wouldn't be judged too harshly. Thank you.
Really?
Thank
you. I'm judged too harshly by Sean.
Exactly. All right. Oh, well, are you ready to hear about Rachel Barber? And we're going to talk about who murdered her and why. And this is an interesting one. I'm ready. I'm ready to tell this story.
So is it more focused on the victim this time, or is the killer a serial killer? Or
you're gonna find out, and in fact, oh. I'm gonna introduce several people and see if you can pinpoint who the killer is.
It's a whodunit.
It's a whodunit because the question is, who murdered Rachel Barber and why? I do have a disclaimer here. If our listeners are triggered by people who do not do their jobs or didn't do their jobs, I'm just warning you now, you might get a little
people
frustrated.
People do not do their jobs.
People who do not do their jobs.
If that's a trick. I feel like we use that word way too much.
What are you talking about? You'll see. Oh, and I think you as job. A police I'm officer's triggered. Wife will probably be frustrated today. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm a nurse, and as a nurse, I often lament how there are just bad people out there who have the same profession as me and who are just awful, awful at their jobs. They're just terrible. I don't know, maybe they're incompetent or maybe they just don't care. Some are even murderers with varied motives, from like angel of death to just being crazy psychopathic. As for myself, I am not that type of nurse.
You're not?
I'm not. I am not a psychopath, what? Nor am I an angel of death. I know.
What?
Boring.
Shocking. I was over here thinking, I think Shauna did this. I think she's the one.
That's right. No, I follow the law.
Just kidding.
I like rules. I follow the rules. And those I work with do the same because I would not tolerate anything else because snitches don't get stitches.
I don't think that's
winners.
How that saying goes.
No, snitches they're winners.
Don't get stitches.
They don't get stitches. So how does this relate to our case today? Well, as we talk about the murder of 15-year-old Rachel Barber, what has to be remembered is that this good and bad dichotomy is true across all professions. So you're going to have good and bad people. So when you hear about how terribly the police handled this case, please know that I have the utmost respect for our police officers and that it should not reflect negatively on them as a whole.
I just appreciate want that.
You're welcome. Because there are good and bad everywhere. Okay.
Oh, it's true. I'll be the first to say, Sean would be the first to say, there are a lot of officers out there who suck and should not be officers. And I've witnessed it. I know what's out there. So from personal experience, I will not disagree with that. Yeah. But it is important to note that there are a lot of really good ones. The mass majority of them are very good.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I work with good cops every day and they are amazing. And I depend on them and they depend on me and we have to work together. And so just know that this is an
Word.
anomaly and this is not how normal cases would go. But I
So did the
think it,
police officer do it?
I don't know. You're just going to have to find out, Kelly.
Oh, come on. First it was a nurse, now it's a police officer. Now I just don't know. I'm getting a little I feel about this, Shauna.
Slow
All
your
right,
roll,
just tell me the story.
friend.
Let's go.
Listen with your ear balls.
I'm not patient enough for
Okay,
that.
so Rachel Barber was born on September 12th, 1983. From a very early age, she loved to dance and to perform. Her family was very passionate about the arts, and ballet was Rachel's specialty. She loved to choreograph dances, and she would teach her sister how to perform them. That was like their thing when they were growing up. It was really cute. Since she was little, it was her dream to be a professional ballet dancer, and she never wavered in it. It didn't matter how old she got, that's what she wanted to be. And when she was six, her parents started her in ballet at the Melbourne Dance Academy. So this is in Australia, is where this is
Oh,
taking
okay.
place.
Cross the pond.
And so she was at the Melbourne Dance Academy, and by the time she was in high school, she was just phenomenal. She hit ninth grade, and at that point, she was like, "Look, this is all I want to do in life. I don't want to do anything else." And they have the option. I don't know if they still do that, but now they have the option of where she asked her parents if she could drop out of high school and just go to the dance factory full time. It was like an academy type thing. And,
Okay.
you know, she was very dead set on it. That's where she wanted to be. She wanted to be surrounded by all things dance. And I don't know much about the dance factory. I'm supposing that they had regular education there too. I don't know. But we're just going to go with they do. I
It's
don't know.
the dance factory, like they
The dance
produce
factory.
dancers.
I know they produce dancers like an assembly line. Anyway.
Assembly. Okay.
Anywho, needless to say, her parents said yes, and she went full time. She was super happy. She was loving life and felt like she was just finally where she wanted to be. Shortly after starting there, she met a boy named Manny Corella. Manny and Rachel started dating, and soon things became pretty serious. They were best friends, they were inseparable. And although Rachel was outgoing and fun with her friends and Manny, she was pretty shy and very careful whenever she wasn't with her friends. She was a beautiful girl, by the way. She had the slender ballet build, beautiful green eyes, and she was just a beautiful girl. And she would often get followed by random people. And so there had been several instances where she had gone into like a store and some guy had followed her, and it just creeped her out. And so she did not like to be
Oh my
alone. She did
God.
not like the dark. She was just very careful. She was somebody who would never have gone off on her own or been by herself of her own volition. So she was
Right.
careful. In fact, mid-February of 1999, there was a creepy guy in their neighborhood that Rachel's mother, Elizabeth, would often see trying to talk to her daughters. Rachel was the oldest of three girls in the Barber family. Mom and dad were like really loving, and to outsiders, their family seemed like super idyllic. And in reality, they were actually a really happy family. They would tell you that, you know, they had their share of drama and weren't perfect, but they loved each other and they were happy. And it was kind of ironic because in their neighborhood, like just right across the street, was another family called the Robertsons. And they were also married and had three daughters, just like Elizabeth's family.
Okay.
And their oldest daughter was 15 and was 5 years older than Rachel. So they didn't really play together. Caroline would sometimes babysit for her. And sometimes Caroline's mom would talk to Elizabeth because I guess Caroline had some problems. Well, she had epilepsy and suffered from severe depression. And
Oh.
Caroline's parents weren't happy. They weren't in a good marriage. They were often fighting. And so you kind of had this opposite. You know, you had Elizabeth and her husband and children who had this idyllic family, and then Caroline's family who was just,
Yeah,
you know, not
it's
idyllic.
rough.
So it's just kind of this dichotomy there between these two families.
Okay.
So Elizabeth was very protective of her daughters. And there was this guy in mid-February of 1999, this creepy guy in their neighborhood that Elizabeth would often see trying to talk to her daughters. And on that day in mid-February, Elizabeth had gotten out of the shower. This is insane. She went to take a shower. When she got out, she heard voices in the living room, and she walked in there to find that creepy guy in her house, sitting at the
Shut up.
table talking to her daughters. I mean,
No.
yeah. And so, of course, she's like, 911. Well, I don't know what they have in Australia, but it was the equivalent of a 911 call. And so she called the police. She kicked him out. She's like, don't ever come back, and kind of left it up to the police to follow up from there.
That is bonkers.
It, yeah, I was like, oh, that's terrifying. I don't even know how he got in there, but that's terrifying.
Oof.
So that was mid-February. And 2 weeks later, on March 1st, is when everything went down. So this is 1999, March 1st. It's the last day that anyone saw Rachel. Rachel's typical morning was, you know, she'd get up, she'd get dressed, she'd eat breakfast. Sometimes she'd eat at home. Sometimes she would meet her friends and they'd have breakfast together. And then they'd go catch the tram to the dance factory where all of her friends, she and her friends went. And this was the same kind of morning. She got up, she was super happy. In fact, she was really happy because she, you know, she's only 15, she's going to school full time, but she also loved fashion. She loved clothes. She had gone to this store with some of her friends, including Manny, and found this really cool pair of shoes that she wanted, but they were super expensive. They're like $100. And so she wanted them, couldn't afford them. And so she had found this side gig job that she could do to earn $100 so that she could buy the shoes. She usually would talk about things pretty openly with her friends and with Manny, but she was uncharacteristically vague about this job. And Manny and her friends were like, "What are you doing? You know, what's the job?" And she was like, "Well, it's just a, you know, just a little gig, one off, you know, and I'm gonna go do that, and then I'll make a lot of money so that I can buy my shoes." And so she was really excited about that. So she and her friends, they went to breakfast, went to the tram to catch the train to school with their friends from the dance academy. And, you know, it was just a typical morning. They went to school, and at the end of the day, a typical routine for the Barber family after school was that the younger girls came home, Elizabeth would start dinner for the family, and Michael, Rachel's dad, would go to pick her up at the tram station after the academy lets out, usually about 6 or 6:15. Well, that evening, when Rachel and her friends had gone to catch the tram from school, Rachel told them that she was taking it in the opposite direction than she normally was. She's like, "I'm not going to ride with you guys because my gig is this way." And so they were like, "Okay." So she gave Manny a hug, told everybody goodbye, and got on the tram and went the other way. Now, her plan was to go do the job and then come back by 6:15 to catch a ride back with her dad. So at 6:15, Michael shows up to the tram and Rachel's not there. So, you know, naturally he's worried. Again, it's not like her to be by herself. It's not like her to not be where she's supposed to be. She was a normally cautious girl, and so this was totally not a normal thing. So he is looking for her. Elizabeth's back at home. She's got dinner on the table. It's getting cold. Michael and Rachel aren't back yet. She's trying to figure out what's going on. The girls are going, "Where's the, you know, Rachel and Dad, you know?" And she doesn't have an answer for him. So it's about 8 o'clock. Michael finally calls Elizabeth and is like, "Hey, is Rachel there? Did she come home on her own?" And Elizabeth's like, "What are you
Oof.
talking about? No, she's not here. We've been waiting for you guys." Well, Rachel, he said, "Rachel didn't get off the tram. She's not here." And so they start panicking. I mean, it's like a literal immediate panic. Michael had been driving down to all the tram stops, calling all of her friends and looking for any likely place that Rachel would have been. And that's why he hadn't called her for a couple hours, because he was trying to not worry her and trying to figure out on his own what had happened.
Right.
But to no avail. I mean, Rachel was gone. They had no idea where or why.
That's just terrifying.
It is horrifying, right?
Worst
Just,
nightmare.
yeah, definitely. So the first thing they do, they call the police at Box Hill Station. That was the closest station to their home, was Box Hill Station. So the police, they hear what's going on and they say, "Look, she's a teenager. This is
She's a
normal."
missing, she's just
Yeah.
a runaway or
Yeah.
whatever.
And teens come and go within 48 hours. Don't worry about it. And so the barbers, they're like, "Heck with that. We're calling the media." So they got pictures out to the media. They started calling people and they started trying to contact everybody they could think of to try to figure out where Rachel was. So they've got her picture out. They call Manny, and Manny's like, "Huh, I can't believe she actually went." And Elizabeth says, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "Well, I know that she had like a gig for some quick cash tonight, but I didn't think she'd actually go." So Elizabeth's like, oh my gosh. And she starts racking her brains. But the only thing she can think of was a conversation that she had with Rachel in January when Rachel had been asked by their former neighbor, Caroline, to do a modeling job. So Caroline had reached out to Rachel and said, hey, I got this side gig. Do you want to do it? It's for a modeling job. And Elizabeth was like, I don't feel comfortable with this. And I don't know if it was the type
Not
of
feeling that
modeling.
one.
Yeah, she wasn't. And she, I don't know if it was because Caroline was so much older or the type of modeling job that it was. I don't know. But Elizabeth didn't
I'll tell
want
you
to
what it
do it.
was. Mom gut. That's what that
Mom,
was.
think so? Think it was mom gut? Maybe it was.
100%. Moms
Yep,
know.
they do. Well, she knew something, so she said no. And so she didn't think that was it because she was like, I told her not to do it. And so I, you know, that was a couple of months ago. So it's probably not anything to do with that. So Elizabeth knew that Rachel had taken some sort of side job that evening, but she didn't know where it was. She didn't know with whom it was. I'm not sure why. Like, I probably would have just called Caroline just to make sure that it wasn't her, but I'm really not sure why she didn't just call her, but whatever. And it might have been because they hadn't been neighbors for a while. So maybe she didn't know how to get a hold of her. But I think she assumed that since she told Rachel no before, it couldn't have been Caroline. So instead, they went back to Box Hill Station and they try to file an official police report, like an official missing persons report. And then he and Elizabeth started just driving around looking for her. They were putting up flyers. They were talking to anybody who might have seen her. So the next morning, March 2nd, they gather everything that they've got so far, all the information that they've got, and they go back to Box Hill again and they check on the police report that they tried to file the night before. There was none filed. It went
You're
nowhere.
kidding me.
No, nothing. There was nothing anywhere. And so they had to start the process all over again, which again made it last longer. And since the police had not been investigating anything yet, Michael and Elizabeth went to the dance academy to see if there was anything there that they could get, any information there. So they were like looking through her locker, looking through the classrooms, nothing that they could find that would give them a clue as to where she may have gone. So you have to talk to Manny. They found out, you know, she had been going by the shoe store to see if she could check out those shoes because she really wanted the shoes. So they thought, well, let's try the shoe store. Maybe they've seen her. And they did. They had remembered seeing her. In fact, she'd been earlier that week to see them to reserve the shoes that she wanted. And she said she would be back on March 2nd to pay for them and pick them up. So she had them on reserve. But on March 2nd, she hadn't showed up. By the time they'd gone over there, she had not been there. But then one of the store workers was like, hey, I saw Rachel was approached by an employee of a nearby brothel run by a former convicted felon. And yeah, so that was mildly concerning, you would might guess, for Elizabeth to hear that
Mildly.
some, you know, mildly, just a little bit. So of course they went over there and thought, hey, you know, did anybody approach my daughter and offer her a job at your brothel? And they're like, what? No, we don't do that. We don't recruit that way. We would never call anybody. That's not how we do that.
They're like, we are definitely a brothel, but we don't like recruit people.
We have standards.
We have standards and they are high.
We set the bar for, we would never.
How dare you accuse us of such a thing?
I mean, we're a
Oh
brothel,
my
but
gosh.
we wouldn't go that far. So it was quite frustrating. They didn't know what they were doing. They're trying to play detective because the police are clearly not doing that part. Very frustrated, they decide to go to a different police station in another precinct. But since they had already filed a missing persons report with Box Hill, they were like, we're not going to start another investigation since you've already got one open at another precinct. So Elizabeth and Michael were like, let's try to call the hospitals and see if she's maybe there somewhere. But the hospitals wouldn't give out patient information to anybody. So it's like everywhere they went was just like this dead
What?
end.
It's like their family. Why wouldn't they give
Yeah.
them any information about?
They said that they couldn't verify their identity. So they were like, no, we don't really know who you are. So they wouldn't give out
You
any
mean like
information.
driver's license and things like that doesn't help?
Dude,
Like
I
what?
don't live in Australia. I don't know how it works.
Well,
I'm
I'm not
just.
freaking living in Australia if that's the case. Like, if I can't freaking walk into a hospital and ask about my immediate family member, like, that's bonkers. Oh,
Yeah.
I'm not even a nurse. And I'm like, what's happening? This is
I got
not
nothing for you.
okay.
I got nothing for you. So
Me?
yeah,
Okay,
so
moving
dead
on.
end, dead end, dead end. So March 3rd, at this point, the Dance Academy is even getting into it. They start filing missing persons reports for Rachel. The cafe next door that Rachel and her friends would always go to for breakfast and stuff, they wanted to help out. So they actually, one of the owners or someone that worked there had a friend that was actually a police detective. And so they contacted him. And so he was like, I'm gonna light a fire. So this guy goes to the Box Hill police and he's like, come on, what are you doing? Get on this. This is a, you know, this is a big deal. Start working on this. Nothing.
Right.
It didn't help at all. So finally the detective said, screw it, I'm gonna go find her. So he goes back to talk to Elizabeth and he's like, hey, I need you to write down anybody that you can think of that could be a potential suspect. At this
He's the
point,
dude that came into her house.
right. So at this point, Box Hill's finally like,
Huh.
fine. So they start coming up with theories. Their theory was Manny had gotten Rachel pregnant and that she'd either run away to have the baby or Manny killed her. So without any evidence, they grabbed Manny, they brought him in and started questioning him. And it didn't take long to find out that Manny wasn't even with Rachel at the time. He had an alibi and that the family was like, this is stupid. Rachel would have told us if this was going on. I mean, that's the kind of relationship we had. That's not what this is.
This
And
is not a case where two and two make four.
no.
Like, you missed the mark on that one, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the
They
heck?
were trying,
Who are
bless their
these
little
police
hearts.
officers? Good
I don't
grief.
know.
What
I
is
don't
this
know.
theory? Like, well,
It
she
just,
ran away. She must have been pregnant. Like,
right.
what? Like, what?
Yeah.
Ugh.
So the detective starts working down the list that Elizabeth gave him and starts talking to witnesses. And one of the witnesses who said that on March 1st, she had seen Rachel at another tram station with some other girls. And so they pulled the video feed from the tram station. Turns out it wasn't Rachel. So that was a dead end as well.
Yeah.
Then the Box Hill police found a witness that said that she saw Rachel 3 days after the disappearance with a guy. So the Box Hill police, they go to Rachel's house, they start to look in her room and they talk to the witness and they couldn't find anything in her room to suggest otherwise. So they decided that Rachel had run away and they closed the case.
Oh.
That was it. Closed the case.
Closed it.
Yeah. And when Elizabeth and Michael argued and they were like, what are you doing? Don't close the case. The Box Hill police told them to, quote, go to counseling and just try to focus on your other kids, end quote.
But that's like not how that works with missing, like you don't close a case if you don't know where the person is. Like
Yeah.
you close the case when you find the person. Like
Yeah.
that's
Oh, I know. And so they were like, look, we've given you this list. Did you ever investigate the creepy guy who was in our house that morning? They never investigated it. They had never looked to see who he was, nothing. And when the barbers asked about him, they told him to go somewhere else because they'd wasted enough time on them already.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
Nope.
I
I'm
told you.
done.
I told you. If
This is
this is a
done.
trigger for you guys, I'm so sorry. Not all cops are like this. This was weird. So I'm pretty sure that Elizabeth was channeling her inner Lizzie Borden. And it's a good thing that all she had on was her purse because this infuriated her and she actually threw
Her
her
inner
bag at the
Lizzie
cop.
Borden.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what Lizzie Borden did.
Well, I mean, she used an axe, but you know, I'm just glad that Elizabeth didn't have, you know, an axe. All she had was her purse. And so she threw her purse at the guy.
She
She was.
channeled her inner Lizzie Borden and threw her purse.
What, it works. Okay, so March 6th rolls around. The barbers are exhausted. They're devastated. They feel abandoned by the authorities who are supposed to be serving and protecting. And they get a call from a girl named Allison, who was the sister of one of Rachel's friends. I don't know what took Allison 6 days. I don't know if she was living under a rock or out of town or what, but she called and she was like, I didn't know that Rachel was missing. I just found out and I remembered something. She said she had seen Rachel at the Prahran tram station with another girl that day on March 1st. So they took Allison to Box Hill to give a statement. They were like, here, she's got a statement. She's a witness. Help us figure this out. And so the police officers at Box Hill took a statement and they did a sketch of the girl that was with Rachel. And so they took the sketch to the media again, and the police decided that they would start tracking the phone calls from Rachel's phone on March 1st. What an idea!
What?
took them a week and they
You mean
maybe we should do
they
the
finally
phone
started doing
calls. I don't
this
know.
thing that we have called police work. Maybe we should do it.
Something. So they found out that there were phone calls from Rachel's phone to someone in Prahran. And so they found out that the phone belonged to none other than the Robertson's daughter, Caroline.
I was about to say, I bet you she was with Caroline.
Yeah. So they were relieved. Okay, it's great. She's with Caroline. We know her. She used to babysit her. They thought maybe she hadn't called because she had already been told no.
Mm-hmm.
And but they weren't sure why, you know, she still hadn't called after 6 days and still hadn't come home after 6 days. But they thought initially, okay, it's Caroline. We're going to figure this out. So the police go to her house and knock on the door. She doesn't answer. So they had a warrant. So they open the door, you know, knock down the door. And when they get in there, they find Caroline unconscious on the floor. She apparently had had an epileptic seizure. So they call, you know, whatever 911 is. And when they got her to the hospital, they got her stabilized. She came to, and a police officer went in to see if she knew where Rachel was. So she responded, oh, yeah, Rachel's dead.
Okay.
And, yeah. And the cop's like, oh,
what?
Are you sure she's dead? She goes, oh, yeah, I buried her.
And the cop was like,
what? And she said, yeah, I buried her on my dad's property with my other pets.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh,
I don't know what sound that was.
Okay. Ruh-roh.
Oh, nice man. One.
So
Okey-dokey.
At this point, I think Caroline was coming out of the seizure aftermath and realizing, well, crap, I just incriminated myself, caught me at a bad time. So she pleaded the fifth that I don't know if they have that in Australia either, but she wouldn't talk anymore. Yeah. She stopped talking. But is a little bit too late because she kind of told him everything already. So
damage has been done, sister.
Yes. So I kind of mentioned before Caroline was a pretty troubled teen.
/ awful.
Right? She first met the Barbers when they lived across the street from each other from the years 1992 to 1998. Caroline was plain and once described herself as an obese pizza face. Needless to say, she did not have a lot of self-esteem.
Mm.
It was very low, and it was very apparent that she did not want to be herself anymore. And she met Rachel for the first time, really, when she was asked to babysit for them. She was 15, and Rachel was 10. And from that very day, Caroline's diary changed. If you were going back and reading her diary, there was this change from before that date till after that date. It was insane.
Hmm.
And the focus of the diary was Rachel. In Caroline's mind, she didn't need to be herself. From that first day, she began what would eventually be a 5-year plan to get rid of Rachel and assume her identity.
Oops.
Yeah.
What is that movie? You know what I'm talking about? Like, this is that movie.
What
what
movie?
What is the movie called?
Wait for it.
Single White Female. You never heard of that movie?
I have, but I never saw it. I didn't know.
Yeah,
what it
like
was about.
This is what it is. Like this chick who she gets a roommate, and then her roommate just kind of starts turning herself into her. Like it starts getting creepy, and then I think eventually she like tries to kill it. It's nuts. It's bonkers.
Yeah, this is
she's
what we
straight up. All right,
that's
so
what we're doing here.
Just what she single white femaled her.
Yes, she did. Yeah. So in Caroline's journal, she writes, quote, Rachel is strikingly attractive, dancer's body, very clear, pale skin, hypnotic green eyes, wild free spirit, passionate, charming, moody, and mysterious.
Awkward.
Yeah. So Caroline, she wanted to be Rachel, but she also hated her because she wasn't her. So in her mind, the only way to be Rachel was to kill Rachel and assume her identity. So she started doing like really creepy things while they were living across the street from each other. She would spy on Rachel and her family, watch them through the window. She would take pictures. Apparently, she had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of Rachel in her room. And at one point, she even got Rachel to post. She told her, hey, I've got this photography project that I have to do. Will you be the subject of my photography? There was no project. It was fictional.
Oh,
So she was just taking pictures of her and keeping them in her
creepy.
bedroom. Yeah. After Rachel and her family moved away, Caroline graduated right after that, and she moved to Prahran. And you would think she just graduated from high school. She's gonna go out and get a job, move on with her life. Oh, no. She didn't get a job. She didn't go to school. She dedicated every second of her life to becoming Rachel.
Oh.
And she had a plan, and she wrote it in her diary. So her diary was like a checklist. Drug Rachel, check. Put body into army bags. Disfigure and dump somewhere way out. Check
Oh.
farm, including bag. Tuesday, arrange bank loan. Moving van. Night to disguise hair. Thoroughly clean house and steam clean carpet. Like that's what she had in her journal.
Wednesday, have a seizure, tell the police everything.
I'm not sure she planned that far ahead.
She might have.
She might
That's exactly
have.
what
Maybe that was
happened.
in there. Because she's a to-do person, and maybe it felt good to just check those boxes. She's like,
She
maybe I should have
gets
rethought
things
that part.
done.
That's
Oh
right.
my.
She even had applications for a birth certificate in Rachel's name and another application for a $10,000 bank loan in Rachel's name.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So it's a testament to her delusions that she thought that a piece of paper, different hair color, and a bank account would make her another person. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's exactly what I would do.
Right? It sounds pretty legit to me. So in
Oh.
January, that was the first step of her plan. So she decided to call Elizabeth and get her to come and do this modeling gig, right?
You mean Rachel? Elizabeth is the mom?
Yep, I'm gonna try that again. So in
Oh,
January of
I think you should keep
1999,
it.
shut your hole. Okay, fine, I'll
Okay,
keep
we
it.
have to talk about
Okay,
this because
okay.
you kept everything in the last podcast. Everything. You threw the bus so many times. So you better freaking keep this.
Okay, I'll keep
Yeah,
it.
right.
I
I'll keep it
promise.
when I hear it.
Scout's honor. You didn't see my scout sign.
Oh, you did my scout sign.
That's your scout sign?
Yeah, that's what I do. I always do that.
You know what that is, though, right?
Yeah, it's the Spock thing, but
Okay, cool.
really, Kate, don't get all excited because that's literally the only thing I know about Star Trek. And that's literally the only thing I will ever know about Star Trek.
Which makes me cry and die a little bit inside. That's
Oh, get over it.
horrible,
Star Trek is not
horrible.
that great.
It is that great. And just a plug for Strange New Worlds, if you're not watching it out there, you should be because it is awesome.
Is it?
Crazy awesome. It is.
Here's
And
what you
don't
guys
listen to
don't know
Kelly
about
because she
Shauna.
doesn't have taste. It's all in her mouth.
No. Did not sound right. Okay. Shauna's a big fat nerd and she's proud of it.
I
So
am because nerd is
we
not a
love
dirty
her
word.
anyway.
Nerd is awesome.
Nerd is a four letter.
Or awesome.
Okay, moving
Anyways.
on.
Okay. So in January of 1999, Caroline decided to put her plan in action. She was going to call Rachel. She was going to get her to come and do this modeling gig. She was ready to go. Unfortunately, Elizabeth, as you said, listened to her mom gut and put the kibosh on that plan. So Rachel didn't bite. So February 28th, 1999, Carolyn tries again to get Rachel to come over by telling her that she has a study that she's doing for school that she would like to invite Rachel to participate in, and she could make $100 by doing this research study.
Just so she
So
could get a pair of shoes.
I know that's all
I'm
she
so
wanted.
sad.
Poor Rachel, she just wanted a pair of shoes. But
Sad.
she told, so Caroline, the way she got around the whole don't tell your mom thing was she was like, hey, it's a confidential study. You can't tell anybody about it because, you know, we don't want to break confidentiality. And so she's like, you can't tell your friends, you can't tell your boyfriend, you can't tell anybody. So that's why she was being vague. She thought that it would break the confidentiality of the study. So she didn't tell anybody. And we know that this was the plan and this is how she did it because she wrote it in her journal, like everything she
It's like,
put in
in
her journal.
case this actually happens, I want everybody to know about it.
Yes. something. So that fateful day, March 1st, Rachel takes the tram to Prahran and meets Caroline and they're buddies. So Rachel's excited to be able to make some money and get those shoes that she wants. She doesn't think anything of it because Caroline is her friend. So Caroline takes her back to the apartment and they hang out and they have dinner. Caroline orders pizza. Unfortunately, Rachel's pizza is served with a side of drugs that makes her sleepy per her checklist. Drug the
Caroline's the
pizza.
worst.
And at that point, so she feeds her and she drugs her, and she's like, okay, to get ready for this study, we just need, let's just sit here and meditate. Just close your eyes and meditate for a minute. And while Rachel is doing her pre-study meditation, Caroline takes a telephone cord and strangles her with it.
Ah,
Yeah, it's terrible.
what a despicable human being.
Yeah. And she then stuffs her body in a wardrobe and leaves it there for a couple of days
Oh.
while she's going through an existential crisis. Apparently, she was just really distraught about what she was going to do next. Maybe she forgot to write it in her journal. I don't know.
I didn't get this far.
It. After a few days, she wraps her body in a couple of rugs, stuffs her into an army bag, and then takes a taxi to,
Oh,
yeah.
wait a minute.
Apparently,
Wait
she
a
told
minute.
the, I'm saying, as she told the guy in the taxi that she had a statue in the bag and it was
That
really
smelled like a
heavy.
dead person because what?
I don't know.
She lets his body decompose for several days and then she takes a taxi, and the
I don't
taxi
know.
driver's like, sure, that checks out.
That's what happened.
Okay, this story is full of some kind of people, and they're not cooking with all of their utensils, if you know what I mean.
They ain't cooking with Crisco.
I want to know if there's an interview with that taxi man. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're just a little weird in Australia.
no, if you can't smell a decomposing body,
I don't know.
what the crap? All right, I'm
I don't
sorry. I'm
know.
just really like, what? Like,
I
okay, move
know. That's
on.
what I'm saying. I know. I know. I know. They take the taxi to her father's estate and she buries Rachel in the family pet cemetery. So when she's arrested, she stops talking. But like I said, it didn't matter because she already admitted to everything and then, wrote down the plan in her journal. So really, the diary and, oh, yeah, the wall of photos of Rachel in her apartment when they get there, they were enough to convict her. So she was convicted in October of 2000. She got 20 years in prison. She
20 years,
served,
that's it.
oh wait, she only served 14 and a half and was released in
What?
2015.
Oh no.
But it got a little creepier when she came out of prison. Elizabeth said she noticed that the clear obsession was there because she looked like her daughter.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. And the final creepy nail in the creepy coffin. The
No.
psychologist that was interviewing Caroline while she was in jail said that Caroline had zero remorse
Yeah, I bet she
and
did.
that she blamed Rachel dying on Rachel. She was like, look, I knew what I wanted to do. So I just put my plan in motion. I was gonna, if it worked out, I would kill her. If not, I wouldn't. It was really her fault that she fell for my ruse. What?
Despicable.
Look, I'm gonna put the trap
Freaking.
here. It's your fault if you fall in it. I just set the trap. I didn't make you do it. I didn't, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's it.
Kill
That's the
her.
tragically bizarre and disturbed story of Caroline who murdered Rachel Barber and the really weird reason as to why.
She and Daniel LaPlante can go whatever together. What freaking crazy person.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah. I
Oh,
was like, that
Rachel.
is bat crap crazy right there. And what really sucks is she only served 14 and a half years
That's
for
freaking
premeditated,
bonkers.
like you did, there was no question it was premeditated. She had a checklist in her journal.
Yeah.
I
Like
mean,
they would have no problem proving would that be first degree murder here in the
yeah,
States? Yeah. They would have no problem
absolutely.
proving that it was 100% intentional and premeditated.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bonkers.
But it's
Well,
very sad. And I don't, I kind of prefer the stories of people that we talk about who were like over 100 years ago or in the 1800s or something,
yeah.
because I feel like there's really not a lot of family still left that I don't know. I just my heart goes out to Elizabeth and
Yeah.
her daughters and her husband and this terrible thing
That's
that happened to her family. And they were a sweet little family. And for Caroline just to do that just because she was jealous, because she felt like she was, I mean, she had no self-esteem. She talked about how plain she was. Even the person who described her and drew the picture of her was like, it was a really plain girl. So she had no chance at all whatsoever. But I just don't know what kind of mental state you have to be in to be like, I'm a pizza face. I think I want to be Cindy Crawford. So I'm going to kill her. And then that'll make me Cindy Crawford.
I mean, serious mental issues.
Yeah.
Like, serious mental issues.
I don't know how you get there. It's just
Yeah.
bizarre. Anyway, so that's my
Bonkers.
story. I'm sticking to it.
Well, my goodness. We'll just call this one single white female. That's exactly what this is.
Single white tortoise female, because I'm just saying.
No.
Yeah.
I think I won because mine was actually a serial killer.
Excuse me.
Not just a crazy person.
Yes, but your reasons for killing were not quite as awesome as mine. Not that they were awesome, but you know what I mean. Your reasons for killing were not qu quite as disturbed and deranged as mine, is what I
I
meant to
don't
say.
know. Like, she had a reason. Mine didn't. Mine was just like, eh, it's a Friday. I like messing with people, so I'm just gonna go kill them.
That boy in the walls. I know, but Caroline had no remorse. She was just like, look, it wasn't even my fault. I just put the breadcrumbs out there and she was the one
Yeah,
nibbling them up.
they deserve each other.
They really do. All right,
Just
listeners, go on the Facebook page and weigh in. Who won this round? Was it Kelly
it's
and the
me.
Daniel LaPlante with the boy in the walls?
This needs to be like retroactive. Like, you guys need to go back and tell us like who won each one so that we can have like a confirmed
No, we need a tally.
consensus. We need a serious tally because let's
Yeah.
be honest, I pretty much won on all of them.
No.
Yes.
I conceded one and
Yes.
you conceded one.
Did I?
Yes, you did. I have it on recording, remember? It's
I don't
a
remember. Oh.
podcast.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying that I don't think that it did happen.
You're just saying that you've slept since then.
I have slept a lot since then. Oh, probably way
You know,
too
I was
much.
listening back to some of our episodes. We've done some crazy stories. Like, I was
Yeah.
listening to the McElroy one where the town murders
Oh,
the. Like, oh my gosh.
that can either be confirmed nor denied. So,
Oh, so crazy. Oh, they're not going
yeah.
to admit it, but it happened.
It
We
happened.
all know it.
Somehow the man got dead.
He did. He got dead.
Dead.
Anyway, all right. Well, our next couple of episodes are going to dive into the spooky. The supernatural.
And if you guys have some fun topics that you want us to cover, like let us know, because that would be really cool. Come up with some crazy things.
Oh yeah.
And I'm excited for my next one.
I
It's gonna be good.
I'm excited about it. I don't know, what's our theme? Is it just the spooky, like what
I
is
would say just spooky season. Just like,
spooky season?
yeah, you can do with that what you will.
Whichever story gives you the spooky vibes.
Spooky
But
vibes.
I'm gonna tell you, Kelly pictures first, little punk, and it's
Uh-huh.
pretty cool. So
Dude,
I'm
I
gonna
picked
have
mine
to
like last October.
fair. You know, I was actually listening to the McElroy story, and we this was it's been a, almost exactly a year, and we were
Yeah.
talking about how we were gonna do spooky stories next, and then we didn't do anything till
Sorry guys, we suck. We're
really
trying really
suck.
hard though. We've kind of gotten excited about it again and all right, which is ironic because I feel like our lives are way more crazy now than they used to be. And so there really was no rhyme or reason for us to not be consistently doing these. It just, yeah. But we're trying to get back into it because it's a lot of fun for us. And
It is a lot of fun.
we get excited whenever we get little notifications saying that we've got more downloads this week. So
Yeah.
we're grateful for it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like it.
So if you like it, click on the link, join our Facebook page, weigh in, tell us what you like, tell us what you want to hear about, and
Tell
tell
us
us,
who
shoot, tell us
won.
what you don't like. We'll take it all. We'll take any feedback.
But, like, don't be mean.
Oh yeah. Be nice. Just be nice.
Tell us that we suck, but in like a nice way.
Thou sucketh.
That was so good. Oh, anyway, All right.
Peace out.
Stage wisdom.
Stage.